There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, and we're back. Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5, Friday style, and fun to be out here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale and hanging out with my man, Blaine Price. He and I talk on the phone a bunch, but I came to your shop today, man.
That's right.
Yeah, number one, just, it's a store that I'm very interested in everything that's in there, and, you know, that's under the big warehouse out there as well. But also, Kubota Orange Days is something specific going on here for deals.
Right. So today is our Kubota Orange Days. We have sales across the store, not just on new equipment, but in our parts, our service, and our rental today. Our rental special that we're throwing out for Orange Days right now is come in, rent it today, pay for one day, but you're going to have it all weekend and bring it back to us Monday. So...
Okay, I like the way this is working here.
Yep. So if you're looking to do a, you know,
hey, you get the project, weekend project,
right,
yeah, there's, you're talking to a whole bunch of people right now that are doing weekend projects,
and there's no limit as far as what in our rental fleet. It can be from, like we talked last hour, on the handheld power tools, or all the way up to the big excavators or skid steers. You know, you want to come by, rent it today for one day price, but have it until Monday.
So we get it today, we got it Saturday, we got it Sunday, we bring it to you Monday.
Bring it back to us Monday by 10 a.m.
Okay. I think I got some people's attention there.
Yep. So,
also, you mentioned this, and I was answering people on the text line, but now I got the pro in here. You mentioned last hour, y'all pay attention here, because I'm going to let Blaine tell y'all instead of me trying to tell y'all on the text line and on the air. Special coupon code today. How does this work?
So, if you can't make it by today, you can call us, but we have a coupon code. It's a link that you will fill out. It's pretty much just your name, your address, your email address. Hit submit. It's going to email you a coupon.
Okay.
It is a coupon that you do not have to use today. You got to use it within the next 60 days. So if you're in the market thinking...
So you got 2 months to use it.
And it's not going to cost you anything to just do it.
Right.
Because... You know, if you think you might need a lawnmower in the next 60 days, you know, that up to $500 off with this coupon code, and it's going to cost you nothing to do it. You don't have to be here to apply for this. You can call us here at Parrish Tractor today. We can text or email you the link to go online, fill it out, hit submit, and it's going to email that coupon to your email address. And just, you know, something happens and you do come in wanting to buy that new lawnmower. This works if you want to pay cash for the lawnmower, or you want to finance it.
Oh, you can still do it if you take advantage of the 0%.
Yes, the 0% financing. You can still use this
okay.
rebate.
Okay, that's a coupon. Question I didn't even ask you last hour.
Yeah, so you can use it with cash or finance deals. So, but call us. You know, 251-947-4171 here at the store. One of our salesmen will be happy to text you that link or email it to you, whatever's easiest for you.
Okay, and if y'all, you know, you're riding down the road and like, I can't write down the number, just Google Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
Parrish Tractor, Robertsdale, Alabama.
He's got your phone number on there and they can call in.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you and I were talking during the news break and I was thinking, okay, so if a person's thinking, all right, I'm going to get a zero turn, all right, and I'm looking at this zero turn, that you start looking at $500 coupon to a zero turn, you made a big difference here.
Take care of the tax.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, there you go. I mean, that's I tell you exactly what Blaine and I talked about. I said, you know, if you did that and you said tax here on mowers, what percent?
4.25% on mowers. So
and then you get 500. I mean, you take care of your tax
and then some on some of these mowers and then some. So between now and last hour, I stepped out and went there and sold a mower package.
Right?
You know, So we've got a full line of Husqvarna as well. So that's what I just got back from selling a guy a mower, a chainsaw, a blower, and a trailer. So, you know, it's not just mowers and it's not just track. We got all the in-betweens as well, all the stuff we really don't always talk about.
Right. Well, we got a chance to talk about it now. You know, you've got right. all you've got that equipment. You also mentioned trailers. You know, I always think about how you put packages together with tractors on trailers. But let's say somebody's looking just at a trailer.
We sell just trailers. We sell them all the time.
You know,
get guys that have bought tractors, you know, years ago, but now they have a new piece of property where that tractor is having to be trailered back and forth between the house and that piece of property, and now they need a trailer. They come in and they just purchase just a trailer. Something else, I've in my rental fleet right now, I've got two mini trailers of the PJ. They're orange PJ trailers and some black ones as well, but just, you know, anywhere from 16 to 20 foot equipment trailers that
got
a
tandem axle or you...
yep, they got tandem axles, and I'm gonna be looking to sell those, so be keeping an eye out for that on our Facebook pages and also our website at parishtractor.com. I'm gonna be starting to roll some out next week of, and they're not bad trailers. I mean, they're right. really really nice trailers. Some of them have barely even been used, and that is kind of the reason that we're going to be selling some of those.
So up to what, from what size to what size?
About 16 up to 20 feet.
Okay.
So if you're in the market for just a quick
trailer.
Who
isn't in the market if they're going to get a deal on a trailer?
It's going to be a deal, too. I mean, compared to a new price PJ,
yeah.
it will be a deal. And but that'll probably be next week that we start doing that. We just got too many trailers in our rental fleet that.
I've never had a time in my life I don't think I was interested in a trailer if it was a deal.
Yep.
I mean, you got me scheming over here as well on that. Once again, you're selling all the equipment. You're running a lunch counter here as well.
Yes. So the grill is fired up back there. We've got burgers, sausage dogs, all the fixings to go with it inside. Come by, see us, get you something to eat, and fill out that link as well. We also have some door prizes right here at the door.
What you giving away?
Giving away some Husqvarna handhelds. So
okay,
got some of that stuff right there at the door as you walk in. Definitely fill out your name, drop it in the bucket, and we'll be drawing that later this evening.
All right, go back. Let me go before I let you go. I need to go back to text line, make sure, because they're going to ask me these questions again. I think I had it right, but all right. So yes, I think you answered that. They have to get the coupon today. Don't have to use the coupon today.
They do not have to use it today. We do have to fill it out today. And so that's submitted.
You say fill it out. Okay, let's talk, because somebody's going to hear that. I ain't got time for that. What's filling it out mean?
It literally takes not even 60 seconds.
Okay.
I mean, it's literally like.
Because, you know, I hear filling it out, and I'm thinking some government form.
No,
like, oh,
it's not. I filled one out for myself this morning on my laptop. And
you should not be allowed to, I don't think, Blaine. I'm going to call Kubota and tell him you did that.
I'm my wife's needing a new mower this year.
Is she? She's such a lucky woman.
She is. She's very. So yes, within the next 60 days, I will be buying a new mower for her. So,
and you
don't have it. It literally takes 60 seconds to fill this form out, though. Your name, your address, your email, hit submit. It's going to email you the coupon code, but we have to do that today. It doesn't take any time.
That's why I just wanted you to go back, because when you say fill out, people think it means you just put some information. Yeah, I mean, fill out is the right term. I just wanted people to know this is a minute.
This is not some lengthy questionnaire like that. So.
All right. Also, let me just make one last thing. You and I talk about this on when I call you a lot. To the homeowners out there, they got a little bit more than a postage stamp to mow. I run a, you know, a zero turn mower. You know the grass I cut. You've been to my house,
right?
Y'all, if you can upgrade, even if you had a zero turn, if you can upgrade the size of the cutting deck, it is. I mean, if you're like, I would like to have some of my weekend back. Now the grass is growing. It makes a real difference.
It does, and something to that to upgrade. We take trade ins.
That's what
we
do. Okay.
We will trade.
So
in
if I got
a
zero turn right now,
yes.
and I want to go to a bigger deck.
We can trade your mower in and put you into a new one, and it'll lower that, of course, mm-hmm. that note on yours, or if you're paying cash for it, it would go against that. But we trade in a little bit of everything. We trade in, of course, tractors and mowers and implements. So if you got something that you wish was bigger or smaller,
mm-hmm.
Definitely reach out to us. Let us take a look at it and see about trading you in on that.
And that's part of y'all's used inventory, too, people can look at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've even thought, Sean, here lately with these cattle prices, thought about trading in cattle on equipment.
Yeah, yeah, listen, you and I can talk cows during the break here, man. Yeah, I've got try to buy in cows right now.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you.
It is.
All right, this goes on the Orange Day today. What's the deadline for getting the coupon? What time?
We're here till 5, so okay. If you can't make it by before 5, give us a call before 5. And
operators are standing by.
That's right, they are. So yeah. We can, but we'll get you helped out over the phone. And like I said, it's nothing that you have to spend or buy today. It's just we got to.
And there's no obligation. It's just
no obligation.
Why not put that in your?
And even if you're not going to purchase one, you know, even if you do not purchase one, I meant, you know, it's no obligation, like you said.
Good deal. Blaine, thanks for having us out.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, coming right back, more Midday Mobile. Dr. Sean Powers joins me with the University of South Alabama Marine Sciences Department. Shark alert systems. We'll get the professor's opinion on this when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Friday. And we are right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And what a place to be. This is a fun place to be. Now, I got to do radio show now, but at 2 o'clock, Katie, bar the door, the equipment out there. All right, I want to give a big shout out to, I mentioned he'd be joining us, and telephonically and through yarn and cans and all those things, Dr. Sean Powers, University of South Alabama, Marine Sciences, and the Dolphin Island Sea Lab, and one of my buddies, so don't hold that against him. Hey, Doc.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm sitting at a tractor store. I'm really good.
Yeah, for you, that makes a lot of sense, man. That does.
Do you think they typecast me?
Yes, they would. Well, I am sitting in front of beautiful Hancock Whitney Stadium. It's a great day. A little windy to go fishing, but a great day.
Yeah, see, we got, this is what I love, too. And if y'all hadn't heard us, Dr. Powers and I talk in the past, I love the way it works in our state. And you have the regulation side, you have Colonel Scott Bannon and that, and you have the science side. And both sides of this with Dr. Powers' world, you have people that like to fish. You're not just the scientist. You're also, I mean, you're like the rest of us. You like to fish, and you can talk in regular people language, and I appreciate that.
Well, good.
So keep it lowbrow for me, okay?
I'll try.
I do want to talk about this. You had the event last night at the school. What happened? What was the reception you had, and what happened at that event?
So we had our annual donor reception event last night at our new facilities on campus, the Stokes School of Marine and Environmental Sciences. We spent a lot of time at the Sea Lab. But we also, over the last 3 years, have gotten new facilities with our growth on campus. So we brought all of our donors there, and it's organizations that want to sponsor mainly our students and help us train the next generation of fishery scientists. A lot of people know we're heavily involved in the deep sea fishing rodeo, and we get a lot of great science, but they give us a donation. They've given us over $500,000 over the last 20 years. We spend all of that money on students and training, like I said, the next generation of students. In fact, I met a young lady at a meeting yesterday that was in my undergraduate fish class in 2004, and she is now a full professor at a university. So that means I'm old. But it also means our university has a lot of impact. The CCA also gave us a donation for $25,000, the Coastal Conservation Association. And, you know, these folks work hard for these donations, and they want to see it used for the students. And so the university doesn't take a cut of that. I don't take a cut of that. We use that money to support students. And those are the students that you've met and you've seen at the rodeo. that work on issues that are profoundly important for us. Flounder, for example, red snapper, sharks, all of these topics you hear about, you know, we've just had an amazing group of supporters and donors that have helped us do a whole lot. And now our graduates are pretty much all over the country helping hopefully manage fisheries in a much more sustainable way. There will always be user conflicts between different groups. And, you know, our job is to inject some science there. So.
No, and what's really cool about it, too, is just the brand. And like you said, having graduates in so many places, that right here in my home is this premier marine sciences program. Like I've told you in the past when you and I talked, if I would have known it, if it would have been a thing when I was 17 years old, I might have gone a different way if I knew that that school right there was in my backyard.
Absolutely, and that's what we hope. Not only our backyard, we want to educate the students in the South Alabama, the region, and Alabama, obviously, because our taxpayers have invested in our university, but we get students from all over, particularly the Midwest. We get a lot of students, and that's because a lot of their parents have vacationed in Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, and Dolphin Island. And just geographically, if you draw a line to the closest ocean, here we are.
Yeah, I do want to talk sharks and sheephead and all that with you, but you made a statement about those, you know, somebody being a professor, but what kind of jobs? If you might be talking to parents now, you know, you and I have had these conversations. We have daughters the same age. If parents are out there and talking to their kids about this, it may show some interest in it. Outside of being a professor, what jobs are out there?
So, and that's what's really changed over my career. 25 years ago, when I came out with my PhD and was looking for jobs, it was pretty much all academics. It was all universities for marine biology, marine sciences. And now we've had a ton of growth in non-governmental organizations, what we call NGOs, government organizations. And I know the feds are planning on shrinking a little bit, but the state resource agencies, and environmental consulting companies. I don't think people realize how many environmental consulting companies are based in Mobile or have big offices in Mobile. And all of them need well-trained people, not necessarily PhDs, folks with bachelors and masters. And that market has just exploded. I mean, what I tell people is, listen, this is what my daughter wants to do. I certainly wouldn't tell her or pay for the college if I didn't think there was jobs in it. And that growth has just been phenomenal. And a lot of it's oil spill related. The oil spill really reminded us how important this system is. You know, it gave us some resources financially. We benefited from an amazing conservation commissioner who's invested. But that's happening in a lot of places. So we have about a 90% job placement in that field within 6 months of graduation. So we're not producing students. President Bonner is very much on us at the university. He wants those students to be in jobs in what they're training for. So we're very cautious with this growth to make sure we manage it. So, you know, these students have realistic expectations of jobs, whether it's bachelor's, master's, or PhDs. Anyway,
You won't hear this at the fancy events putting this language, but I'll put it in Sullivanese. That's a hell of a percentage right there, because if people think about whatever degree, you know, if somebody went to college, whatever degree they have, what percentage of those people are working in that field? I don't know of many that are hitting at 90%. That's something. That's to be a pat on the back.
And I am sure, Sean, that you could have done all the calculus requirements and all the chemistry requirements requirements that we have.
The chemistry thing, the calculus, there's a reason I was a communications major and an English minor. It was the buildings at the University of Alabama farthest away from the math building is where they put me. But we all have our, issues out there. All right, a couple minutes before the break, but I do want to start this conversation here, and we'll pick it up when we come back after the break. We've talked about it on the station, on the show, a good bit, some proposed legislation that would have set shark alert system for the Alabama coastline, right? I have a lot of questions here. First of all, from a scientific perspective, is there a need for this from science? Not from just popularity, but from science.
So what we're seeing more and more is, and we see both the Alabama legislator trying to get a hold of it, as well as the federal. There's something called the Shark Act at the federal government level, and that is shark populations are increasing. More and more fishermen interact with them. More and more tourists, locals, are seeing them in the water. And that's happened over the last 30 years, and it's really kind of taken off in the last few years because shark populations were at historically low levels 30, 40 years ago. And the federal government intervened to rebuild shark populations and decrease commercial fisheries for sharks. And that's been successful. So what you see now is more and more of these user conflicts.
All right. Let's hold on. They're playing the music means we got to go to the news break. We're going to come back and pick up our conversation with Dr. Sean Powers right here on Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along and great to continue our conversation with Dr. Sean Powers. He is, when I think about fish and I think about, the cartilage, they're not fish, the cartilaginous, what do we call it? Sharks and rays are what?
So they're technically elasmobranchs, but they're fish. I mean, they just aren't bony fish. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was 30% on the way there, and I screwed that all up. All right. So, because I've had my reaction, many of them, to this proposed legislation, but I'm not coming at it from a scientific perspective. But let me ask you this. So, the shark populations increase, and Lord knows, we all know it who fish, fish in the Gulf with a lot more sharks. But then I haven't seen incidents of shark attacks increase like commensurately with the increase in sharks in the Gulf.
And that's correct. The University of Florida Natural History Museum keeps a wonderful online tool called the Shark Attack Files, and they keep it for the whole world. And if you look, there has been, as these shark populations have been rebuilding, there is no meaningful increase, or some years there might be a decrease in the number of shark attacks. And again, we're talking about unprovoked shark attacks. They're still extremely, extremely rare. My favorite statistic that someone told me that I checked out was it's still more likely to be bit on the New York subway than it is by a shark.
Well, listen, all kind of stuff going on in the subways. You're saying by a person or by a shark?
Exactly. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't scare people. I mean, sharks fascinate some people, and they scare some people, and some, it's both. And, there are shark attacks. Obviously, we've seen, just life-altering mm-hmm. bites from sharks, and you know, and I can say how rare it is, and I can say how rare it is getting hit by lightning. But if you're that person that got hit by lightning, you're not impressed with how rare that event is because it happened to you. So I do think that this is an attempt for legislators to try to at least inform the public more. I've seen a couple of versions of this bill. The first version of the bill was just kind of the outline, and it was a lot rough. You know, luckily they worked with the Conservation Department and Marine Resources to try to get some more parameters down, because while you want to inform the public, obviously so much of our economy is based on people enjoying our beaches, that you don't want to scare people away because of a very rare event. So I think it will be informative, and it will ease people's minds when they go to the beach, when the system reports an attack, that someone has been bitten by a shark. Now, it's very rare that we get two bites in close proximity to each other. Obviously, we had one last year, but that's very extremely rare. But I think that would help people. The trick with the bill is the other trigger is going to be unusual shark activity.
I'm sorry. That one, that's the part, you know, that's the part that's been killing me, man.
Yeah, you know, that's the one that I know Commissioner Blankenship, Colonel Bannon have asked us to sit down and try to figure out, because sharks are always in the water, especially when it warms
that's
up.
That's where they live. That's where they, sharks in the Gulf. Where else are they going to be?
And, you know, most of those sharks, we've talked about this, are small coastal sharks. They don't pose a threat to anyone. And even the larger ones, the problem is when you see the silhouettes from above, it is really difficult to identify a shark from a silhouette. I mean, they all look the same. I mean, they all do the same thing. They all kind of look the same. You know, I've had experienced fishermen bring sharks to us, and they were the wrong ID. You know, so it is not a trivial task to identify them when they're on the boat, let alone in the water. So, you know, it's really the bull sharks, the tiger sharks. Those are some of the ones we're worried about. But, you know, even black tip sharks, particularly in like Daytona Beach, Florida, those are the ones that often test bite and bite. They're usually not fatal attacks. And that's the whole thing. Not only is a bite rare, an attack rare, it being fatal is even much, much rarer. So you're trying to warn people over a very, very rare event that we don't know what the triggers are. It seems just random. So it's a very small frequency, and then you have it's totally random. So it's going to be a struggle to do it, but I think the commitment is there. On the part of the bill now, the way the language reads, as well as Commissioner Blankenship, to try to find some way that helps. And if it hurts too much, tourism and those things, then maybe it won't be adopted. But, you know, there's a lot of warnings that we get. We already have a dangerous marine life warning.
Yeah, and people ignore them, Dr. Powers. That's the problem. We got red flags for riptides. Well, we got purple flags for marine life. And people still get in the water and get, you know, when there's
so
a rip
current. Purple flag, I actually obey that one more than anything. I'm not much of a rule follower. But the purple flag.
But jellyfish gets your attention?
Because it usually means jellyfish. And so, you know, whether another alert system, my wife has suggested we call it the blue alert system because we have a silver and amber. So maybe right. The blue alert system will help. But no, it needs some work. The intentions are great, obviously. The stories here.
Oh, I get that. 100% get that, and I get the emotion.
The attack part is very straightforward, but did you see how many co-sponsors this bill has? I mean, it is amazing. Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, for just
because who? Okay, you know why? Here's
clearly is just Mobile and Baldwin County. I mean, there are so many sign-ons on this bill. It clearly is on everybody's mind. So I'm hoping.
Okay, well, listen. You're the scientist here. I'm the editorialist. Let me throw this into the mix. It's the reason why is if they're shopping that bill around Montgomery. They're going to say, hey, you support this bill. And if you don't, they'll say, what, you don't care about this little girl, you know, this young lady now that was bitten? You know, that's how it's framed. And this is talking about it. I mean, we have to lay this stuff out that, you know, that I do care for that. You and I both have daughters. And if this would happen, I would be, you know, ready to rage out there. But I wouldn't, you know, think that everybody else needs to comply with some kind of warning for something that already happens. Like, if it was some rare thing that there were never sharks on our beaches, and then they were, that's one thing. And, you know, I've asked this question when it first came out, the unusual shark activity. I've made, you know, 200 jokes about that. But the other part of it is to say what size and what species, right? Because if it's just a shark alert, well, okay, we've got a shark the size that just eats the tail off your speckled trout when you're wade fishing, I don't think needs to put an alert out to run everybody off the beach.
No, I agree. And it's, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And I, you know, to be honest, in the end, I'm not very hopeful that we will find anything to ever define unusual shark activity. I think that the system
playing a saxophone.
Help. Yeah. The people, it will help alleviate some concerns that they know if there's a shark bite or a shark attack somewhere on the beaches, they will get a message, and that will ease a lot of people's concerns. I'm not very hopeful that we could ever get the unusual shark activity down to the subset that it would require, but, you know. I mean, again, I like challenges. So, we'll see what Commissioner Blankenship and those folks come up with. So that's one of those things I am just always pleased about, some of these user conflicts and policy decisions, because that's Scott and Chris's job, not necessarily my job. So.
So, okay, I've got
But I will tell you one other one. The Shark Act in the federal government, which is trying to address, you know, how many sharks does the recovery need for sharks? You know, what can we do about some of the increasing bite-offs that fishermen are experiencing? Should we reopen shark fisheries? How do we rebuild those markets for sharks that were lost? Now, that bill, I think, will stimulate a whole lot of improvements, because I do believe that for many of these shark species, we still have a few of the really big ones, dusky and silky sharks, great hammerheads, that need some more rebuilding time. But a lot of the sharks we have under protection right now, like sandbar, that's the most common one that will bite off your snapper. Those populations we could develop a fishery for. Now, whether people want to harvest those or not, I mean, I know a lot of people don't want to touch any shark, and that's fine, but that's more of a values and moral decision than a science fisheries decision. There is a fishery for sharks. We can help it return to the U.S. And that's what the Shark Act and the federal government is looking at. But again, this is a gigantic thing. These bills have tons of co-sponsors. It's not just the general public that's fascinated with sharks. Apparently politicians are too. Great. And I do think that bill has a lot of potential to really update the way we think about sharks and shark management. That doesn't really help the unusual shark alert activity, but I think the federal bill is really going to help. And I know it's already spurred conversations about at the state and federal level, revisiting some of the shark management strategies.
Hey, can you hang on? We're going to go to the news break and come back to wrap it up here with Dr. Sean Powers. Got to maybe even break off of the shark conversation long enough for me to ask him a question about Red Snapper. We'll see when we come back right here on Midday Mobile. We're live at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you here. Check in with my buddy Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. And you were talking the other day, too, about some of the coins, the gold coins out there. What do you have available right now? I know they're popular.
One thing that has been a hit at the shop, besides coins, gold or silver, or even bullion like silver rounds and bars, is what we call the mystery box. And basically what it is, it's a mystery box, a bullion mystery box. You don't know what's in it. Everybody's been talking about it. Every time they come in, everybody wants to buy one. But anyway, they're $100, but it's a great deal because it's basically anything that we can get a great deal on. There might be some extra goodies in there too, but it's $100, but you get a bit more of a value than just $100. But it's a mix of little pieces of gold, silver. It could be, mostly probably silver for that for $100, but so far it's been a great hit.
You know, you talk about silver too, and that's the thing that I've been, buying for years from y'all, because it fit my budget. Mm-hmm. But it's, it's not done what gold's done, but I'm looking back from when I first started buying silver, and it is appreciated nicely.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Gold and silver are both going up, but everybody's been buying, and some people have been profit taking if they bought it years ago, like you, and or have been stacking for years. They've been letting go some of their collections or go so they could make a little bit of a profit on it and turn around and buy some more silver with it at the current rate or trade it in for gold.
Yeah, it's a good thing to say. I mean, not only people purchasing precious metals from y'all, but you are purchasing from the public as well. So if somebody has some they're looking to sell, y'all are ready to talk to them.
Absolutely, yeah, and we do free appraisals.
All right, tell people how to find you.
Yes, sir. We're at 2204 Government Street, just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, there she goes. And continue our conversation with Dr. Sean Powers. And we talked sharks a whole bunch this hour, of course. Obviously, it's big in the news right now. But to typecast myself, once again, I'm typecast because I'm very happy I'm at a tractor store. And I typecast myself by talking about Red Snapper with this man who also likes to catch Red Snapper, not just research them. Dr. Sean Powers, what do you your thoughts here? Because I know it's a collaborative effort between the science side and the enforcement side there with Alabama Marine Resources. This move for going away for part of the summer, for June, from going away from the four-day weekends and going to opening it up. Your thoughts on that and what it's going to do for catch totals?
So really, when we catch the fish really isn't something I'm worried about. I mean, this is the great thing about having a healthy snapper population, that once we establish the quota, and my advice on that to the state, based on all of our surveys, as well as obviously the feds have the final say in the quota number, how Colonel Bannon and the folks manage that and when it gets harvested, it's really not an issue that I weigh in on. I can understand rationale for both sides. I know we haven't achieved fully our quota.
Right, that's what I wanted to get to, right? I mean, that's the thing. I think it's just on the people side.
A lot of folks still finally have gotten rid of this Derby Moore mentality that, they that the fish will be gone if they can't hurry up and run out there. And that's because we had 3, 6, 9-day seasons. The South Atlantic still is facing that. They have 1, 2-day seasons. So the fact that people know that the fishery will be open for the duration likely of the summer, I think it stopped that Derby Moore mentality in going out no matter what the weather is. So you know, as long as we don't go over the quota, and I feel pretty good about where the quota is. We see the average size ticking back up slowly, which is one of the indications we'd like to see, because I do think that people have had to go further and further out to get the higher average size of the fish. But, you know, anything to encourage people to harvest up to the quota, that doesn't bother me at all. That's absolutely why we do so much work to manage the fishery and trust that we have the right number. You know, if we don't harvest everything, that's kind of putting fish in the bank for later times and more reproduction. But our population is pretty healthy. I said this last year, I'm hoping the average size ticks up a little bit so we don't have to discard quite so many fish. But my crews are out there right now surveying the population before the season, and then we will survey the population towards the end of the season. And we give the state an annual estimate. There are lots of snapper out there. We wouldn't mind those snapper being a little bigger, particularly closer to shore. But when they harvest the quota, those are management and policy decisions that don't affect the biology. So I am perfectly happy to let Scott and Commissioner Blankenship try to, figure out the best way to have the most people enjoy the fishery.
Good stuff. Dr. Sean Powers, as always, I appreciate it. We'll get you back on soon, and a lot more to talk about the fish world out there. It's always a treat to get him on. Thanks a lot. We're going to wrap it up for now. We're here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Paul Feinbaum show on the way next. Speaking of fishing and all that kind of stuff, join Mike Ward and I for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors tomorrow morning at 7. Bye, y'all.